This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're coming to you live from Tempe, Arizona. Arizona State University, where the Commanders...
Is Temp.
Where the Commanders are practicing. Yo, just in case, like, somebody missed that show that day, the reason we always say Temp is because Jeff legit thought it was just called
Temp. In the promo, I did put it in there.
I love that.
Lanford, right. Did you use that part?
Yeah.
I say we're going to be coming to you live from Arizona. Well, Temp, as Jeff would say.
Commanders are out here practicing. They're kind of moving practice times around. It's been interesting because it's hot. Now, the actual practice is indoors, so it's not like they're out here.
It's still hot.
Just walking around, though, is hot.
Hot as hell.
All right, so right now it's 7:32 a.m. Jeff and Landini, why don't y'all guess what the temperature is outside right now?
Hey, what you said, it was 7:32?
Yeah.
80 degrees.
Yeah, I was going to say 83.
Jeff, nailed it.
On a point.
It's 80 right now. Today actually looks cooler.
When I land, last night, when I was asked what was the temperature, I was driving to the hotel. It was a little bit before 8, it was 100 degrees.
Today looks cooler, though, B. It's only getting up to 106. It's different out here, man.
Oh, yeah.
So, B, you and I have gone back and forth on this, and Dan Quinn had an answer yesterday that I thought he obviously has a job to do here. And clearly keeping the vibes right might be Quinn's greatest skill, I would say, where he is really focused on getting this team to perform at the highest level. And I don't think he wants to be negative, but he also doesn't want to lie, right? Like,
yep.
So defensively, they've really struggled. And I think you can't deny that at this point. And I thought his answer yesterday, so DQ got asked about, because what they said is we want them to play with speed and play violent and run downhill.
Yeah.
And he's like, not yet. I'd say we're gaining there, so we're still building onto that, but we're not hitting the marks that we want yet. By no means is that where we're going to end up.
Uh-huh.
And I love the crew. I love what we're about. So we're going to grow. They're going to play faster. They're going to play more violent. And so the more of that we do, then you stack on more and stack on some more. But we're not to the space we will be yet, no. So there's a lot of coach speak, a lot of jargon in there. They're clearly not playing to the level he wants them to play because they're not playing well. Like, no. If he was comfortable with how the defense was playing, it would be a much larger problem than him trying to coach speak his way around saying, hell no, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
All that really said was, I want them to play like X. They're playing like Y. I'm not thrilled with it.
Yeah, and we can all see that. You can't hide it.
Right.
And when you listen to me, I told you he's the calmest dude in the world on the sideline. But just like you look at your parents when they look at your brothers and sisters, you know who to follow and who not to follow. When you watch him in the offensive end on the field and that camera pans to him, you see a much more jovial guy than when the defense is on the field, right? He still has the same calm look, but you see a little gleam in his eye when the offense is out there. And he and Joe both can't be happy with it. You know, they come in.
I got a feeling Joe won't be as good as coach speaking his way around it.
Joe is not a coach speak guy. Joe tells you exactly what he feels. And I think players also respect it. because you don't want to be lied to. And Dan isn't lying to him. He's telling them, you're not where I want you to be.
You're not hitting the mark.
And I expected to get there. So
through three games, the Commanders are giving up 377 yards per game, and they've given up 11 touchdowns. That is tied for the second worst in the league. The only team that's given up more is the Cowboys. They've given up 12 touchdowns. I mean, this is kind of a chicken or egg question. Like, it's an existential thing that I think you and I land on different sides. Do you think defensively they're going to – like, DQ has no choice but to think his defense is going to improve.
For us,
we're on the sideline. Like, we can look at it more objectively.
Well, I think he thinks the more they play, the better they will start to do the things exactly how he wants it done. I sit there. I watch the game just like you. And what do I tell you about the D lineman that I see a lot? They attack a guy, and it's like they turn it into, I'm going to beat this guy. Eventually, you got to dismiss that guy's ass, get rid of him, and make a tackle. I've watched guys hit a guy in the chest and run right past the running back. I never saw the arm come out to try to at least grab him or something. And sometimes that happens in football where I'm firing off so much, I want to beat this guy. But your job is to make a tackle or make it so tough to where the guy can't just run through a hole. And when we watched the game just Monday night, there were a lot of guys going right past the running back. So when you watch these special teams, those guys stick and throw. That works for defensive linemen as well.
I also think it's always worth noting who the opposition has been, right? Like, go back to the NFC East title of 2020 when the team went 7-9 and they beat guys like Nick Mullins and Ben DiNucci as the opposing quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, I never really bought into that success, right? Through three games, they've gone up against Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, you had T. Higgins back. That Tampa game, Mike Evans is eventually going to the Hall of Fame. Godwin, Baker Mayfield, that team has some offensive skill and a really good offensive line that nobody discusses. But the Giants game, Neighbors looks all world, but Danny Dimes is Danny Dimes. Like, I don't know that their struggles have been competition dependent, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, this weekend with Kyler running around and Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't think – in the NFL, people are like, oh, man, they always get torched by the team's top – by some of these top wide receivers. Everybody in the NFL has good receivers.
Everybody gets torched by the top receivers, to be honest with you. Not often do you just stop a top receiver.
Sure, but, like, I don't know – when they play Cleveland and it's Cooper and Judy, not everybody's CeeDee Lamb or Tyreek. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but – I'm just saying, I don't think there's going to be a change in the level of competition that helps Washington.
It won't be a change in the level of competition, but I'm going to tell you, what does everyone say is the strength of that defense?
I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I don't know that you could say there is one through three.
No, I'm asking what they still say. I'm not caring about what is if there is one.
The perception is that the defensive tackles are our
strength.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They need to play to it. Listen, this is no knock or whatever. The coach just told you that the guys are not playing how he wants them to play. So, ultimately, who runs the team? The big boys. The big boys are not playing the way they're supposed to. Last year, we talked about the offensive line. This year, we don't have to talk about them. Why? Because the quarterback is more mobile, and they're giving him a little bit more time. So, they're playing a little better. We need those guys on the other side
and
to play better.
They finally address center.
We need the guys
Giannis
on the other side to play better.
Giannis has been so good.
Yes, he has. But we need those guys to play better. And listen, just going out there and say, oh, the defensive backs. Well, if they got all the time in the world to throw it, they're going to pick you apart eventually.
Injury news, we need to run through the injury report. Just finishing these numbers out. Passing defense, Commanders are second to last in the league, giving up 255 per game through the air. Kind of surprising. The team that's behind them is the Ravens, and they're giving up almost 300 per game through the air, 291. And then the rushing defense, there's not a lot of surprises here. The Commanders are middle of the pack, 121.7. A lot of injury news from yesterday. DQ was a little revealing. We thought he was just being nice. We later learned it was a new NFL rule that he had to tell us the truth. we're going to run through the full injury report. You tell me, Landfill, when we come back, is it good news? Emmanuel Forbes is going to be back on the field Sunday.